This is Startup Nation Radio, the show to learn about how to start and grow your own business.
You got to follow your own compass. You got to execute on what you really believe in.
Well, the principles of entrepreneurship, I think, are universal.
Entrepreneurs benefit from learning from each other.
Hey, Rich, you're calling in from The Nation. What do you have for us this week?
Well, first of all, The Nation is alive and well. Entrepreneurs are jamming it.
The time is now.
The real question is, do you have the confidence, the resources, and the support?
It's always a good time to get into business.
It's time for Startup Nation with Jeff Sloan.
Okay, it is indeed time for Startup Nation. Today, great show ahead. We're going to hear from an entrepreneur who's made his come true, now to the tune of operating a billion-dollar company that he took from much less than that and grew it to a substantial real estate holding company. We're going to hear how he did it. How do you do that? Well, I'll tell you what you do. You start by listening to today's Startup Nation radio show. You hear from our guest, and you follow his roadmap. That's how you do it. Stick with us on Startup Nation Radio. We're going to learn how you might be on a path to a billion-dollar company of your own.
You're listening to Startup Nation Radio on News Talk 760 WJR. Here's Jeff Sloan.
All right. Great show ahead on Startup Nation Radio today. And here, making me look good, asking the good questions, the smart, tough questions. Norm Pappas is back with us as co-host of the show. Norm, great to have you.
Yeah, glad to be here.
All right. And you put together a winner for us today. You got to get a great show ahead. Listen, there's a lot of people out there that want to start companies. Few people actually ever though realize extreme success, you know, and that's okay. It's great to start a company, take care of your family, make some extra money, you know, buy nice things, all the things you can do when you're successful with your own business. But to get to the point that this entrepreneur's gotten to, this is going to be really interesting to hear. I said you're going to ask the tough questions. We want to make sure the audience today hears things that helps them follow that roadmap and have a shot at that same kind of extreme success. A company with, when it comes to valuation, starts with a B. How about that, Norm?
Yeah, no. So our guest is Jonathan Holtzman. You'll see he has a passion for his business, which is apartments, and he is village green everywhere you can look in the city here, but also across the country. So great businessman. It's going to be interesting to hear his secrets to success and see his passion.
All right. You used the word passion twice, and we always find that to be a key hallmark on Startup Nation. So, Jonathan, with all that passion, wisdom, experience, success, welcome to Startup Nation Radio. Glad to have you on the show.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, so your company is Village Green, started by your grandfather, right? Third generation now?
Yes, 100 years ago, he came as an immigrant from Ellis Island and worked for Henry Ford for $5 a day. And he decided he didn't want to do that. And he went on to build about 25,000 single-family homes. But entrepreneurship, he watched furniture stores uncrate furniture, and they would throw away the wood. And my grandfather would watch single-family home builders building houses out of wood. So he just asked the furniture stores, you know, can I have the wood? You're throwing it away. And then he would go to the home builders and say, you know, I'll sell you the wood. He watches the home builders build a house, and he goes, well, I can do that. And that's how he began.
That's the stuff, right?
What year was that?
He started the business in 1919, and he came through Ellis Island as a little boy in 1912.
Put some perspective on the business today. So you go from that to now today, Village Green, under your leadership. Paint the picture for us.
So we started off as a for sale, single family home building, you know, and that was the great American dream. You know, 69% of America, you know, up until 2008 owned single family homes. Rental apartments were secondary. You know, the dream was to own, not to rent. So I saw, you know, the trend that if you lease a car, if you stay in a hotel, so many things are rent, you know. But rental apartments did not attract professionalism like the hotel industry did, or the office building industry, or shopping center. Rental apartments was kind of like a secondary business. And
do you
it all
mean professionalism in the owner operators of the apartments, or are you talking about the clientele that would, in this case, rent the apartments?
It was all the above.
All the above, both, right?
All the above. You colleges were not, and they still aren't producing graduates in real estate rental apartments. That you can graduate in hospitality, and so the whole America was based on owning,
yes,
not renting.
That was the American dream. Yeah.
Yes, and if you look at the trends, and we can talk about a lot, and where I think the real opportunity is for everybody to get in this business, because rental apartments is been a driver since 2008. And it's going to continue to be the leading driver of housing in America.
And so when you say get into this business, what we're talking about is someone who would get in, acquire an apartment building or maybe multiple units, and then rent those out. And the revenue's driven, obviously, through the rents that you earn. Ultimately, I would imagine there's even an opportunity on the escalation value in the property, and then you're able to liquidate that at some point. And that's kind of the model of the business, right?
Yeah. So, I started in 1977. We had very few rental apartments. We were really a home builder. And I wanted to just be the rental side. And so today we're about 40,000 units of rental in 17 states. But the thing that we're most proud of is the fact that we've won customer service awards 6 years in a row. So we saw the business as being hospitality, customer service, not just a great place to live, not just a great lifestyle, but get treated with respect. Mm-hmm.
And that's a great differentiator. We talk all the time about small business operators and owners. Customer service, that's a great differentiator, customer service. So when you put that to work for you, that you can end up with a company that starts with a B, right? So that's the first thing you got to do is really focus on customer service. That's what we're learning. All right, now listen, when we come back, Jonathan, we're going to go to a little break. When we come back, Norm, let's talk about, we've got people out there now. We've pointed out to them that this is a great business to be in. There's opportunity here. How do you get started? I mean, it's one thing when you've got assets to go out and get additional capital, to get more, acquire more buildings and so on. But to get started, that's the tough part. I want to start right there when we come back. So those of you listening that might want to get into this business and take a shot at it, you're going to get your first major tip when we come back from this break.
Welcome back to Startup Nation on WJR. Here's Jeff Sloan.
Okay, welcome back. A couple of quick housekeeping things. Call out to our great sponsor, Comerica Bank, for sponsoring Startup Nation Radio. And of course, Pappas Financial, our good friend and co-host Norm Pappas in studio. If you've got a question for Jonathan Holtzman today, this is your shot, 800-859-0957. Give us a call. We might get you on the air and give you an opportunity to ask a specific question. Norm, we're going to help people get started here in this business. We're talking to Jonathan Holtzman, Village Green, the apartment business, and let's not waste another minute. Let's get right into how Jonathan can help us get started.
Yeah, Jonathan, you were home building. You went into apartments. If somebody's listening and they say, I want to get started, how do they do that?
Today, the cities, want housing, rental housing. And so whether it's a small city, medium-sized city, large city, the building departments, the development organizations within the city, so many of these cities, have some land that you could buy very inexpensively, or buy houses and renovate them and rent them. So now, how do you put together the pieces? Well, there might be a small builder out there that the entrepreneur kind of forms a joint venture. I've got the land, you're going to be the builder, all right? So now what about the lender?
How do you finance it? Where do you get the capital?
Exactly. So you put together a little bit of team. So let's say there's an investor out there. There's a builder out there. There is a lender out there. But somebody has to lead. That's where the entrepreneur comes in. So where does it begin? It begins with demand. right? These young people want to live in the cities. And you know, they're willing to accept neighborhoods that are in transition. They're willing to accept units that, you know, are kind of, you know, a little funkiness to them. You know,
it's called character in your business.
Total character, right? And they're near the cool little restaurants and bars and little nightlife.
Yeah.
And so I would say that, you know, you can't do it all by yourself. Form teams, you know, people that you know, can each bring something to the table. But the entrepreneur is the leader. The entrepreneur is the one that takes the different pieces and says, there's this piece of land. I met with the city. They'll sell it to me for a dollar. Now I got to need, you know, an architect. I need a builder.
Like being a producer of a movie. You got to have the script, the actor, the financing, the distribution, the same thing kind of thing here. So you're the leader. You got to, as an entrepreneur, you have to have the vision. What are you going to do with this? You probably have to go out and do your market research so you can package it up and sell it to the other key players, right? You want to know if you need, can you do 100 units, or are you talking 10 units, or where? What's the market demand going to be able to uphold? And you put all the pieces together into a plan. And Jonathan, when you talk about financing, then at that point, you've got your builder, you've got your vision, you've done all your market research, you know what you can do. Do you go to an investor that's institutional, or, you know, like a bank, or do you go to a, you know, individuals, maybe angels in the community that might want to throw some money in? What are some of the sources of capital you look to first?
Well, if we're talking about pure startup, right? We're not talking institutional. We're not talking large banks. So let's get started with a lot of, you know, really famous people. And one of them is the very successful Sam Zell, billionaire, real estate gentleman, you know, University of Michigan attended. What did he do? He actually bought houses and he rented them. You know, and today his company, you know, is probably a $10 billion company, over 100,000 apartments. But his core was the simplicity of it. You know, finding a location that somebody wanted to rent, figure out how much rent you could get, what could you buy it for, what could you build it for, and you began. And so the fundamentals of doing one rental house or one or two or three unit rental apartment building is exactly the same fundamental is building a 100-unit apartment building or a 200. Mm-hmm. It's all about, you know, the steps.
The fundamental principles, too. Make sure you cover all the fundamental principles.
Yes. Yeah. So now you get back to the financing. Well, yeah. I think that, you know, I think there could be, you know, a successful business person. It could be an uncle or an aunt or a friend, you know, that might want to make a little bit of an investment, the equity. You have a lot of savings and loans. You have a lot of small banks, you know, that are a little bit more entrepreneurial than these large banks, you know. But I think the key to it is, you know, working with the cities in terms of buying that house or that piece of land for a little inexpensive. So you've created a little equity to leverage off of.
Yep. You create another thing too, Jonathan. You create the equity, obviously, that, you know, you might be able to use toward collateral and securing additional financing for more development. But you also build, you start to build a track record, right? I mean, you can go to the bank and say, listen, we've been doing this for 2 years, 3 years now. Look what we've done. Here was our vision. We built this. We're cash flowing positive. We've got occupancy rates of whatever they need to be, you know, to demonstrate performance. And boy, at that point, you've got some leverage. You got a foothold, toehold to build on.
Yeah. You know, I can't tell you how many real estate apartment people have started very small, whether it's rental houses, whether it's few townhouses, whether they build a little bit. It's all this, you know, starting. And you're starting by just asking the question, well, where does somebody want to live and how much are they willing to pay for rent? And so now, you know, can I put the deal together with those kinds of numbers? And you don't let anybody tell you no. And you always ask the question, why not?
Right. If they say no, you say why not? I love that. If someone tells you no, you say why not, and then you try to turn that no right.
Turn the no around, right?
Go.
Because you know you're the entrepreneur, right? And the you know the key issue of being an entrepreneur is you've got to get people to say yes. If people tell you no, well then you know then you're just gonna end it. Yeah. If you just take an attitude, no, this is a really good idea. This is a great location. People want to rent here. You know, I'm going to figure this out.
Yeah.
You know?
Jonathan, we get about 30,000 people listening to the show during the hour. Do you know how many people we just converted when they're told no? They're not going to accept no for an answer. You know how difficult, we just created 30,000 really difficult people, but you know what? They're much more likely to succeed. No question about it. All kidding aside, that's a great tip. Norm, you had a question.
Yeah, no, I think he's saying persistence. You know, all the entrepreneurs we meet with, there are common skills that they have. The passion that they have, customer service, persistence. So, and it'll be interesting, Jonathan, to see how you graduated from that home building to the apartment site as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the deals, the first deal that I did was a housing urban development, a 65-unit historic high-rise with a little retail. And you know, HUD had taken the loan back, and I was able to buy this building, you know, for $1 million. And I was able to get a bank loan for $800,000. And I was able to convince uncles and fathers and other people to, you know, loan me some money, you know, and they would put in some money. So they got a return, and we formed a partnership. And, you know, we bought this little apartment building in downtown Detroit. And, you know, I think one of the great things for the entrepreneurs that are listening that are startups is most companies like ours, you know, once you get to a certain size, you can only do medium to large deals. So who does the small deals? Mm-hmm. It's a wide open field,
right,
on the small deals,
right?
Right, because once you've done small deals, you start graduating to larger deals. So who's following up on one house, a couple townhouses, you know, starting? And I think for anybody, that first deal is actually the hardest deal.
It's the hardest and the most important.
Yes.
And the most important. You know what I love about this whole thing? You know, we talk to a lot of different kinds of entrepreneurs in a lot of different kinds of fields. And most young people today, if you were to go around and take a poll, and I'm guessing here, this is not formal data, but if you were to say, what do you think your best path to a billion is in business success? You know, a lot of them would say probably starting an internet company or something like that, right? That's what they think. Tech companies, fast growth. And some do. They're fortunate to get there. But frankly, it's very few. Very few of those companies succeed, let alone get to that level of success. The reality is, what I love about this business is that it's relatively formulaic. You know, if I said, how do you create the next tech billion-dollar company? I could lay out the roadmap for you, but it's so filled with nuances and you know, things that are pivotal along the way. Not to say, again, that this is in any way easy or simple, but your odds, if you follow the roadmap in this business, are much greater for great success than I think in some of the others. And young people out there, young or old, don't think that way. They don't know that. This is a return to fundamentals. This is business fundamentals. This is about execution.
Well, the question is, Jonathan, did you set out to be a billion-dollar company, or did you just do it a little as you went?
Well, I thought there was a key phrase my father taught me, which is the rental apartment business or the housing business is a necessity business, right? There's a lot of other products that people think are a necessity, but only food, clothing, and shelter are necessities. So if you're in the necessity business, all you have to do is pick a location in which somebody wants to rent, mm-hmm. right? And then how do I get them to pay me more rent? Well, maybe a little bit nicer appliances, a little bit nicer customer service. So now I want to be a brand because I get a premium in the rent for being a brand. So going back to the question about where did I see this would go? I admired, you know, people like Taubman that was the leader in shopping malls. I admired, you know, Gerald Hines, who was a leader in office buildings. There were leaders, you know, in the 70s and 80s in so many fields, you know, the Marriotts of the Marriott hotels or the Pritzkers of the Hyatts. In every area of real estate, there was these leading guys that, again, started very small. Marriott started as a little restaurant. But nobody was doing it in the apartment business. So I didn't know where I would end up. All I knew was that the opportunity was there. And the opportunity of the apartment business, it has never been better. Everybody is referring this to the golden age of rental apartments because you have 76 million millennials, and then you have 75 million baby boomers that will eventually sell their homes and condos and move back to the cities to a certain degree, and they're going to rent. So there's an over amounts of population that want to rent, and there aren't rental apartments out there.
By the way, good thing we should talk about, Jeff, when we come back is how have the apartment changed, you know, the as a business? And Jonathan, you can speak to that.
Let's do that. We're going to do that. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with Jonathan Holtzman. I'm making my notes. How about you, Norm?
Yeah.
All right. This is great stuff. Stick with us on Startup Nation Radio. Coming right back in a couple of minutes.
It's Startup Nation on WJR.
Easy to follow instructions on achieving your dream.
By taking action now.
Here's Jeff Sloan.
Okay, we're rolling on this edition of Startup Nation Radio. We've got Jonathan Holtzman, Village Green successful entrepreneur. Got a company rolling in the billions of dollars. Amazing success story. And we're getting to hear how he created that success and how you might be able to do that too. Before we get right back to it, call out to Comerica Bank, great sponsor of Startup Nation Radio, and Pappas Financial. And Norm, I'll hand it over to you. I know we want to...
Yeah, Jonathan, you said something about cities wanting apartments. We should talk about that. And what's changing in the apartment world from when you started in 1977 to today?
Well, I think in terms of the cities... So we had this shift in population, you know, this, you know, starting in the 60s and 70s and 80s, you know, the cities are losing population to the suburbs. And now this next generation, the millennials, want to live in the cities, and they're bringing companies with them. So companies are relocating from the suburbs to the cities, you know, because that's how they attract the employees. And now you've got the companies saying, great, I've got these young people. The young people want to live in the city, but they don't have a place to live. And it's very apparent everywhere. So now the cities and their economic development departments have land and they have buildings and they might be vacant. And so now they've got different kinds of programs to help with the financing.
And the support.
Yeah,
the support. I mean, they're there to help you make it work in their city. They've got offices directly, DDAs, economic growth.
Yes, and you also have banks. You know, what's interesting is banks are required to do a certain amount of lending within certain neighborhoods. And so you've got, I think the financials are out there. I think going back to wealth creation, you know, as you put together your financing with wealthy individuals, there's tax advantages. And, you know, when you look at some of the great wealth that's created in America, it's from real estate. So now what's different with apartments, right? So apartments, you know, in the 70s and 80s, you know, maybe it's a microwave oven or a washer and dryer. You know, today it's fiber. You know, a young person wants speed of technology.
Yeah.
It's green. Well, these are things that are not very hard, right? The products are there now that are green. Fiber is now coming everywhere. The young people, you know, they're going to have rent. Rent is expensive, so they'll take a smaller apartment, like a Mini Cooper or a Fiat 500. Mm-hmm. So it's a smaller apartment, but yet the building could have amenities and services. Uh-huh. And then you walk out the door, and there's your bars, restaurants, and your employment. So you're talking about a shift in kind of like a lifestyle, and for the entrepreneurs out there is. The easiest thing to figure out is just ask them. Ask the renter, potential renter, what do you want and how much are you willing to pay for something and what location, and they will actually tell you.
You know, the demographics, though, there have to be schools for people, you know. So are you dealing with young people and retirees or people with families actually using apartments?
Well, I think that... I think one obvious group is always, you know, I'm out of trade school, I'm out of four-year college, you know, I'm 21, 22, 23. And unfortunately, a lot of people are not earning enough money and they're moving back with their parents, but they don't want to. So by building smaller apartments, that group can move out of the house. But you're also talking about a range of people, including young people with children. But basically, that group is putting off marriage and children and home ownership longer.
Right.
Which means that they're going to be renters longer. Mm-hmm. So that's a larger group. Mm-hmm. But we can't discount, you know, this also this millennial, baby boomers.
Baby boomers, right.
This 75 million, because there's a group of them that are now 60 to 70 that are saying, you know what, why don't we sell the big house in the suburbs? Why don't we live in the city, you know, near everything, and then maybe I'll go to Florida in the wintertime.
And they're living longer lives. And yeah. the quality of life, the productivity is longer, extended into retirement.
And when we talk about rental housing, it's really broad. I mean, we can talk about student housing, right? We can talk about elderly housing. We can talk about affordable housing. We can talk about mixed-use housing.
Right.
We can talk about market rent housing. We can talk about rental luxury rental housing.
What's the sweet spot? I mean, if you're out there listening, or are there? Is it just a matter of making sure which, regardless of which category you pick, you have to pick that category and do that right for that demographic?
Yeah, I think you're saying it correctly.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you know, it's still capitalism. You still have competition.
Right.
So
right.
I think, you know, you kind of see which one, you know, you like more. See which one, you know, the opportunities are more. You know, for us, we like the market rent apartments, but there were a number of young, very creative startup companies that got into the student housing, and the student housing of today is vastly different than when I went to college, and then you've got the elderly housing, you know, and that's vastly different than what we can think of 10, 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I'd say each form of rental housing is following some very different paths, as their customer is also changing.
But again, you can follow. I mean, the market will tell you what it wants. You can go out there and do your research. You can see what's working, what's not, what the trends are.
One of the tricks that I always did is, you know, pretend you're a renter. Go visit your competitors.
Right.
You know, just make sure that, you know, I don't encourage anybody to lie, but this is a white lie. Just pretend you're a customer. You know, take your friends, take your spouses, take your, you know, relationships with you, and pretend that you're a renter and ask the questions and go, wow, I can do that better than that person. I can get more rent than that person.
I think, Jonathan, also, you like to build community for people that are living in your places. You might give some example of that.
Well, you know, what we found is that, you know, if you know your next-door neighbor, that makes you feel safer. If you know your next-door neighbor, you're going to stay in that community longer. If you ask that person that lives in one of your communities, what should I add to it, you know, and if I do, will you pay me a little bit more rent? You know, sometimes, you know, people don't know how to talk to a customer, you know, so I would encourage, you know, go shop your competitors and then talk to potential customers. Mm-hmm. That will give you the answers of the square footage, the mix of units, the amenities, the services, the locations. You know, you don't have to figure that out for yourself. You know, the information's there, just ask.
Right. And again, that gets to the point about why I'm so intrigued by this business opportunity, because again, you're relatively following tried and true principles in this business. Yeah, as you say, maybe it's now not a microwave oven. Maybe it's the green, you know, orientation of the facility, or the fiber, the connectivity, as you said. But generally, this is stuff that you can see what others have done successfully, you can apply it to what you're doing today. This is great for entrepreneurs out there.
We should also hear, what are you most proud of the things that you've been doing since you were 40 years ago?
You know, I think that, I think for me, knowing that I'm, you know, a 100-year-old company my grandfather started, so I'm interested in the company continuing. I have a great admiration for companies like Marriott and Pritzker and Taubman and Heinz that figure out how to continue over generations, because family businesses are complicated. So businesses have to evolve. I mean, you have to take on partnerships. You have to develop great relationships. And then you've got to leverage off of those relationships. So I think what we've been able to accomplish is a reputation, a brand, and a premium in the marketplace. And that allowed us to attract the capital. Cities want us because of the reputation. So I'm proud of the fact that, you know, that we're respected in the industry. And when you get done with one of these developments, you know, you're proud of what you've accomplished.
Yeah, and the thing about that, too, is that it's, I mean, when you're in the real estate business and you accomplish something great, it's there for everyone to see, you know, which is a kind of an intangible, but it's really cool. I mean, what a great statement to, you know, talk about legacy, talk about changing the community, making a mark, improving the quality of the community. There it is. There's that building, that Village Green building. There's that community that Jonathan built that all these happy people are living in and, you know, contributing to the greater community at large. It's a wonderful thing. It really is. It's amazing. Let me ask you about this. We started the show by, you mentioned customer service as being a key differentiator. Can you break down a couple of things when we talk about customer service? What does that mean to you? You know, we think that's the great differentiator for small businesses. We don't believe in discounting necessarily. We believe in value add. We believe in things like expertise. We believe in things like customer service. What does that mean to you?
Well, think about the restaurant that you go to all the time, right? It doesn't run any ads. It's all a reputation, right? So its marketing costs is zero, right? And then its customers returning every week forever, and then the customers telling all their friends. So, you know, so a small retail store, a small restaurant, you know, lives off of its relationships with its customer. Unfortunately, the rental apartment business, you know, calls them tenants, calls them apartment 101. Uh-huh. You know, it isn't a name of a person. And so if you just talk to them, now I know that a lot of people love their email and their texts, and I would encourage, you know, that's great for a certain level of communication. But the key to it is the renter's paying you $1,000 a month. You know, it could be $12,000. They could stay 3 years. That's $36,000. Why don't you ask them what they want? So they'll pay you more and tell you, invite their friends in your community.
And I'm sure in your business, you've got to be responsive. When there's a call for a need, you need to make sure someone's on it there and attending to their needs and communicating with them.
Well, there's a great line, you know, Isidore Sharp, Four Season Hotels says, treat somebody how you'd like to be treated.
Yeah, simple as that, right? I mean,
there it is. It's that simple.
All right, it's that simple. That simple, Norm.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to come back now. We've heard how Jonathan started this company. We heard his orientation, his vision, his thoughts on how you execute on this business. Now, I want to know how you go from 10 million, 100 million to a billion and more. That's called scale. That's growth. That's something we haven't touched on yet. Let's figure out how we do that next. I'm taking my notes. You should be too. Right back on Startup Nation Radio in a minute.
It's Startup Nation on News Talk 760 WJR. Here's Jeff Sloan.
Okay, on this edition of Startup Nation Radio, we're talking real estate. We're talking billions of dollars of success. We're talking about how you might be able to do just the same. And we're talking to Jonathan Holtzman, getting all that wisdom from a guy who's done just that. We've got Norm Pappas with us as well in the co-host spot today. Norm, thanks for setting this up with Jonathan. Great
yeah.
show. You know, they say about real estate, it's all about location, 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 the big L word. But now once you establish success and you want to grow and expand and grow rapidly, there's another L word that I think we're going to be hearing from Jonathan about in a minute here that actually is the key L word when it comes to going from a million to 10 to 100 to a billion. Jonathan, how do you take a company? You've done my first apartment building. I've proven that I can get the renters. I can prove that I keep them. I can prove I can cash flow positive. I'm good at this. Now I'm ready to really expand. How do I do it?
Leverage. Okay. So I'm going to do a
leverage, leverage, leverage. That
yeah,
was it.
I'm going to get 10 houses that I'm renting or one 10 unit apartment building. Right. And I've renovated it or I built it and it's now worth, you know, 100,000, 200, 300, 400,000. So now I'm going to go do my second deal, and I'm going to use the collateral of the first deal. You know, I'm going to be guaranteeing again, but I'm also going to be pledging this asset. So now I'm going to take my 10-unit apartment building, and now I'm going to go do a 20-unit. You know, and so basically, you know, I started with a 65-unit apartment community. You know, my next deal was I bought a 500-unit apartment community. And so one of the easiest ways is start off as a buyer. Right. Now, as you get good at buying and you finally have enough apartment communities, you say, OK, you know, now maybe I'll go build something. Mm-hmm. And so one idea for the audience is, you know, maybe you know an architect that will moonlight and put in his fees, his architectural, you know, design and defer his fee for a piece of the deal.
Yeah, sweat equity.
Right.
Yeah.
Now you got a builder.
Right.
That says, okay, I can build it for you. I'll put in my fees and I'll build it for you and I'll take a piece of the deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now you find a landowner and you say, hey, don't sell me the land, you know, convert the land to taking a piece of the deal.
Right.
You know, and now you go again to your investors that you did a couple of deals with and they did pretty good and say, here's the next deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so now you're going to go build something, right? So now I've bought something, I've now built something, you know, and now I can do more of that. So I would encourage the, you know, audience to be a little patient, you know, because you got to do each deal and you got to have a certain amount of success. You know, you don't want to get too far ahead of yourselves, you know, step by step by step. There's enough demand out there. And so if you think of it, it's 5 to 10 years from now, you know, and if you've started off doing a small deal, you know, 5 to 10 years from now, you can amass 500 apartments, 1,000 apartments, 1,500 apartments. And as you amass these things, you're using that as collateral, using that as leverage.
You know, there's a magic ingredient here, though. When you build these relationships, you have to have trust. And if the people you do work with trust what you're doing and you do what you say you're going to do, then that following will help create the leverage and grow. And every entrepreneur's got to have that.
And that's universal across every business yep. type, yeah.
You know, look, you know, I think as you think about assembling your team, you know, that's what the early in your career, it's long days and nights and weekends. So you've got to see this as an investment, you know, that yes, it's taken a little bit of your personal life away, but you're making an investment. You're learning a trade. You're beating your competitors because you're working harder. Roger Penske, a great entrepreneur, calls effort equals results, you know, and so, you know, so hard work, you know, to learn something, you know, to beat the competition and start doing deals. And the deals get bigger, the frequency of the deals, and you grow. And if you look at any great real estate story, they all started, you know, from something very small. Isidore Sharp from the Four Seasons started with a small hotel. And look at what he is today. So it's all a step-by-step process.
It's great stuff. We've got a couple of minutes left. Norm, you want to...
Right. Yeah, Jonathan should write a book on quotes of people. So, yeah. Jonathan, what quote do you want to give everybody that they'll remember you by?
You know, ask a lot of questions. I find that when you don't get a good answer, that's where the opportunity is. Mm. So ask why. Right. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. phenomenal what you're going to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they say no to you, you go, why no?
Yeah.
Why are you telling me no? Is it no because it's always been no? Or is there a reason behind the no? and as you get into the no, you go, well, that's an old no.
Right.
The times are different.
Right.
How about why? How about if I did it this way?
Mm-hmm.
And if you drill down those no's and those whys, all of a sudden you see the entrepreneurial opportunity. Capitalism at its best.
That. I love that. Jonathan, when you get to the point of success where you are now, do you still get up in the morning with a fire in your belly? Are you still ambitious? Or are you, you know, where are you in your life in terms of you look down the road, you've clearly made it. There's going to be no debate about that anymore. What do you do now?
Well, I think that I still see the rental apartment business not having the respect of other great companies, you know, in America and in the world. You know, you can think of almost every product, but nobody says, I want to work for a rental apartment company. You know, colleges don't quite recognize us, you know. So the opportunity for Village Green is to create this brand, because brands command a premium in profit, a premium in customer service, a premium. And so my interest is for Village Green to create a brand that's well-respected, well-recognized, and continue to grow.
And what about you personally? Are you, you know, with your business, are you wanting to continue to expand? Or do you kind of feel like, you know, you're there? Are you satisfied?
So I have a board of directors. I'm the chairman.
So you can't say you're satisfied.
You know what's
we don't want you getting soft there, Jonathan. Yeah.
What's interesting is that I have young people. I have 20 and 30 and 40 year olds that are very interested in seeing me kind of do less because they want to be their turn. Mm-hmm.
I can tell you, Jonathan is still hungry. He's not stopping.
He's not stopping. There we go. Are you an investor, Norm?
Sure.
Okay. All right. Right on. Well, we love that. Well, I got to say, you were an amazing guest. Seriously. We get a lot of people on the show, a lot of people with actually some billion-dollar companies. And you shared some great wisdom with the audience today. It's great stuff, Jonathan. Thank you so much for being on the show.
My pleasure.
Appreciate it. Norm, thank you for putting it together for us.
My pleasure.
Great to have you on the show.
Yeah. Always enjoy it.
All right. Well, we're going to do more, Norm. We're going to do more. We'll be back next week with another great edition of Startup Nation Radio. Between then and now, you go out there and you make your dreams come true. And a quick call out before we go to our producer, Paul Bologna. Thanks for putting it together, Paul. Our board operator engineer, Rich Lozinski. Thanks to the WJR folks. We appreciate it, and we look forward to a lot more Startup Nation Radio ahead.